grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.8, Frankenhooker, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
207 days.
And Shayla.
Hello.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 10. Molly and Harry arrive at the Carpenters and are greeted by her family. Charity and Molly quickly descend into conflict, to which Michael tells them that they have until he returns to resolve their issues. Michael enlists Harry to help resolve the issues and to watch over his family while he is gone.
First of all, totally relate.
I was like, this sounds like almost every interaction I had with my mother when I was 17. Also, I love how it's very open-ended. Michael's just like, yeah, fix this by the time I get back. It's like, bro, we don't know if you're going to be gone 2 hours or like 2 months.
Just fix it. Help.
Like, again, is this like almighty intervention? You will be gone just long enough for them to sort this out and then it will be safe to come home again.
I love how shocked they are too. Yeah.
I know. Well, it is a good moment. So, yeah, they pull up. And, I mean, even just this opening, right? She's standing on the doorstep. And she's all, first of all, right, playing it off all cool. Like, I don't care. And then, like, sweat breaks out the second she hits the front step. And then she's like, is there mud on my shoes? He's like, you look like Frankenhooker. I don't think you know anything.
I also love the Frankenhooker reference because it's an actual horror movie. Going through this book, trying to find different horror references, it made me question, like, how big of a horror fan Jim Butcher actually is. Because, like, Frankenhooker, that's a little more niche. It's not something common like Freddy, Jason, The Conjuring.
That's hilarious. I just assumed it was just a Dresden insult. I didn't know there was an actual.
I've never seen the movie. I don't really know the premise behind it. I know the actress.
I have seen this one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
I have. And that's funny because I read this the first time and I hadn't seen it yet, and I just totally blew through it, didn't know it was a reference at all, but have seen it in the last year, and it is very camp, cheesy. It's
oh yeah,
just like
sounds like
the
it would
special
be
effects
something
ridiculousness.
Called Frankenhooker.
Kind of reminds me a bit of like the original Evil Dead movie.
Okay,
so it's got that sort of real camp cheesiness to it.
Gotcha.
But I just loved it, and actually the actress who plays Frankenhooker is going to be at HorrorCon this year for Calgary, and I low-key want to try and meet her because it would just be a cool experience.
You now have 1 week to find and watch that movie.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's ridiculously fun. It's just so cheesetastic. It's, yeah.
At the time of this episode, she was in Calgary 2 weeks ago.
Oh, whoops.
Definitely not aged in some ways as well as it should be. It's totally not PC whatsoever.
No.
And so the title is Frankenhooker.
Like, you find that with so many books. Sorry, I'm staring at like the books up there right now. That's why I kind of made that correlation. Oops. You see that with a lot of movies that especially came out in the 80s. Like, you really watch it and you're like, that would be canceled now.
Right. Well, what would the PC version of that be? Like, the alternatively put together sex worker?
That movie just wouldn't have been made.
Nope.
There is no part of it that translates well.
Pretty Frankenstein.
Pretty Frankenstein.
Forget about the drugs. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. But no, again, it's just as I was saying, it's interesting because it's just like, what kind of horror fan are you? Because you're thinking, like, going into the book, I'm like, no, he's probably just using, like, the most, like, baseline. And then you see something like Frankenhooker and it's like, oh, you're into horror.
Either that or he did, like, a deep delve into research. Be like, I gotta write a horror thing. I know nothing about it.
Well, to be fair to Jim Butcher, you're new to the series. This is the only book you've read so far. I get you for more. But Jim Butcher and his references are deep and iconic and fucking cover a lot of fucking ground.
I was going to say that, because he usually does have a number of pop culture references, but in the next few chapters around here, just already, it's just like popping up. Every other line is just another reference. I'm like, holy shit, I don't remember this being that many times he's referencing things.
That's what you get with that con culture. Like I say, even I mean, like I say, I've been doing our comic expo for like years, and I'm like, I know so little of what walks through that door. There are ones I recognize like year after year, like really popular ones that you're like, I know I've seen this, I still have no idea what it's from. But yeah, I can only imagine, like, I mean, it would definitely give you at least a lot of fodder that way that there's got to be. I mean, even just, like you say, from how long, you know, the, what, 60, 70 years of television and movies and all of that that we've, you know, I mean, back in Dracula and Frankenstein were original. Has anybody watched?
1902.
Have you seen the original Frankenstein?
Yes.
Yep.
I just, it's crazy. I just remember the one, like, you're going along and it's like, okay. And then he meets a little girl. And then he just, like, is standing there. And then he just, like, lobs her into the water. Like,
yeah, throws her into a river for
like,
no reason.
Such a weird thing. It's just, like, almost so, like, nonchalant or so. It's not even like, girl. No, he's just, like, standing there and he's like, okay, I have this. I don't know what to do with it now. Doink. It's like, what the fuck?
I actually own it. And, like, that scene just, I don't know if I'm just, like, severely twisted or what. But I could imagine, like, when that came out, like, it was horrifying.
Oh, I know. Right?
But, like, now people watch it and they just think it's hilarious. And then, like, you read the book and everything and it's, like, pretty fucking dark. But it's
which
like,
I have not. I have not read Dracula, Frankenstein, or anything like that. But I...
Mom hasn't gotten through the first episode of Game of Thrones because they threw a child out a window. But she watches the original Frankenstein. She's like, well, it's in black and white. You don't show Drake it's black and white.
Okay, it's a little more graphic in Game of Thrones. There's a lot more that happens in that. And
fair.
This at least, I mean, again, in the context of the movie, it is done in a rather cheesy, and I mean, it wasn't like 10 stories out of like a tower window either. He tosses her in the water. I do that with the kid like every other weekend.
You know? I'm always throwing children into rivers. So yeah.
That's just another Sunday.
That's exactly. I mean, Clem's a swimming pool, but still. So anyways, we get to the door.
Carpenter household roll call. We get the whole gang, which is good because even though we've had the Carpenters in previous books, it's not all the time that we get the whole children.
I don't think we have ever had all of them introduced in one place at one time before.
So we've got Amanda and Alicia. We've got Harry, Matthew, Daniel.
Hope.
Hope.
You guys are going completely out of order.
Hope was the first one.
Hope was
she's the first one that came out.
The oldest after Molly is Daniel.
Then Matthew.
Then Matthew.
Then Alicia.
Then Alicia, then Amanda, then Hope, then Harry.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill. Actually, it's Harry. No, we already got one of those.
I know. I love that. Which, again, is a reference back to a couple of books when we met her. And she calls him Bill because, yeah, when...
Twist.
Yeah, in book three, Charity was pregnant. And so they, you know, Harry had to go save her and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So Michael named the baby, which Charity was like, I was on drugs. Okay, I didn't have a choice. But yeah, this happened like a couple of years ago. Amanda's like, we already have a Harry. You can be Bill. He's like, okay. So I love that she's remembered that, especially since that was...
more than 2 years ago before you disappeared, which for a young child.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, I was like, I'm well impressed that, yeah. She
maybe that's just her go-to for any adult male that she doesn't
maybe
know.
That's just, right?
Everybody's called Bill.
Yeah. If I only see you temporarily, you can have, you know, the same name, but within the household we all have. But yes, it is quite a sweet little, and I mean, honestly, I can picture this, like, again, like, for my household, my friend's household, I'm like, absolutely, I can remember lots of times going over and knocking on her door, and just, you know, you hear that stampede of footsteps somewhere, and some little sibling popping the door open, and,
You know, it was just like, it's just a fantastic scene. It's so cute. And then I love, like, Daniel, like, oh, nice of you to show up. Like, you know, it's like, it totally highlights Hope's point when she answers the door. She's like, Daniel's the boss kid now, but he's not as good as you are. He yells a lot more. Like, obviously, he takes it very seriously, right? It's like, where the fuck have you been? You just, like, up and left us. And I was like, I was going to hang around here.
Yeah, he's pretty upset with her.
He's pretty upset with her. And the other ones are just so happy to see her. And again, he does a really good job of that sibling, I love you, and you annoy the fuck out of me, right? Like with Alicia and stuff like that. My name's not Leech. Like she said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more.
So finally, Michael comes to the door with his bag and his sword prepared to leave. But he drops everything right away and just, without thought, embraces Molly into a big bear hug.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And she's all, Dad. He's like, shut up. Give me this. And she's like, okay.
You can definitely tell that total daddy's girl dynamic there.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I like. Like, this is honestly one of the things I love about how, and I've said it before, but how Michael's family and that is portrayed. Because as you go on and as you find out, again, what started this, you know, I mean, like, okay, we met Molly a couple books ago, and exactly, we were joking about Harry had handcuffs and Molly just happened to have a key. And that was when she was like 14, right? So, and again, she was hiding in the treehouse to like change because she, the uniform she wore to school was not the same one she would wear at school, kind of a thing, right?
Oh, so been there, done that.
Exactly, right? So we already knew Molly was like a little bit, but I mean, essentially, obviously, good kids, good family. But this is what I love that, you know, like for all Michael and Charity are devout and as easy as it is for Michael to be a stalwart and have as much faith, they aren't all a bunch of goody two-shoes, freakazoid Stepford kids or anything like
Bible
that.
Bible thumping.
Exactly.
Kids, yeah.
Right? They are just normal having their issues. And this is it, right? It's like Molly ends up getting busted for holding, you know, marijuana and stuff like that. And again, you know, Michael's, and I think part of it too, it reminds me a lot of my family dynamic because my mom was definitely the stricter disciplinarian to my dad. And not that he couldn't be, because, you know, kind of if you went above mom to dad, then you were probably really in. But you know what I mean? Like he tended to have just that touch more empathy or whatever. So even this, right, even when Michael's like, oh, I figured like the embarrassment and the trauma of, you know, of getting caught and punished, you know, would be enough. And Charity was like, no, we're going to take it like 10 times further, you know. It's just like, aw.
To a degree?
Very real.
Yeah, I get that in a way. I also think maybe perspective when Michael deals with the shit he deals with every day. My kid being arrested for something like this, it's not as big for me.
This
know?
Is true.
I'm happy she wasn't possessed by a real demon. Well,
and that was hilarious too, right?
Oh,
picked up for possession.
I laughed so hard at that. Like, for possession. She was possessed?
No. Like, possession. No. We said it before too. Sometimes Harry is just so stupid. Like earlier in this book when he was like, oh, what's crime of opportunity? And it's like, bitch, yeah. You know what fucking possession is. I hate you.
Yeah, right. I mean, again, granted, it just would have worked slightly better if they were in, like, even, like, at the convention or something like that. Because, you know, you're, like, in the midst of it, your mind would go there. But you're, like,
yep.
Really, you should have. But, yes, still a cute moment.
And then enter Charity.
Da-da-da. So I will go back slightly because we always make fun of how Dresden takes note and describes the people he encounters, especially women. And it's okay. Always a very, you know, detailed sort of. I will say, thinking about this from last time, though, because we were like, of course, Harry noticed her breasts and blah, blah, blah. I will slightly on this point actually give him benefit of the doubt because this is kind of a big deal. I was like, this is your friend's kid's daughter who previously was 14. She is only 17. I'm like, I guess maybe that does speak a little bit more to the whole thing. I'm like, it's, you know, not an everyday thing that people have pierced nipples and stuff like that. So I was like, I guess I could potentially see him making a bit more note of that. And under the circumstances, da 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 da. But yeah, here we go. So here they come in. You can tell, obviously, weren't expecting again because Charity shows up in a red silk kimono. And are you like, what? And I love how she sees them, is like, oh, it's you. And then she's like, hang on. And immediately goes with like, you know, I was just kind of having a nice night with my husband. But you know what? I got kids and Dresden and shit here.
I don't think she really gave a shit about the kids. I think it was just dressed.
Yeah, the kids know how mom dresses at home. It's just...
Well, more, but again, they were all supposed to be in bed. She might not go prancing around in her kimono in front of all the kids all the time. That might have been a bit
more.
Maybe not,
but also Michael was leaving, so
Yes, that's what I mean, yes, you're right that, but I read it a bit more as, again, right, all the kids are supposed to be off in bed and stuff like that. This was, She probably wears the fluffy house coat a lot more. But yes, again, it's just a nice touch to see, you know, that again, Charity and Michael, you know, seven kids in and they're still, you know,
passionate.
Passionate.
Might want to tone it back. I'm sorry. Seven kids, especially like for today's age in this economy. Hell no.
So Michael took Molly's appearance fairly well, you know, about as well as you could hope with some guidance from Harry. Charity's reaction.
That is so common, though. Like, just, again, as you said in the last episode, if you're looking at me, this is essentially how Molly dresses. For me, growing up with my dynamic, it was always my mom, like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, why can't you have your natural hair color? Why do you have so much shit in your face? Why the tattoos? Where my stepdad would just, like, kind of scoff and roll his eyes at me, like, whatever.
Yeah, you do you, kind of. I don't know.
Kind of
get it,
like, but that's exactly the reaction I would constantly get from my stepdad. And just like kind of seeing that, it's like, wow, that's relatable. And I think Daniel even says, like, what is it, just Halloween all the time where you are? I'm like, oh, I feel called out. Because I did get asked that, especially like at Molly's age, because I've always kind of dressed like this, but I now have adult money, so I really just express myself. And it's just like, yeah, I've been asked that multiple times.
See, I never did because, again, I knew my mom would blow a fuse. So I never disliked my natural hair color, but I knew she was never going to let me do, like, weird. Like, if I wanted to dye it, like, blue or purple, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have. I just assumed she wouldn't, so I didn't even bother. So I saved all of that for after I left home. And like I say, that's when I, started adding piercings and tattoos. And she will make kind of pointed comments occasionally.
So she blames a lot of this on, like, it wasn't until after I had children and they broke me and then I started getting piercings and tattoos and stuff. But, I mean, to be fair, the her having children, her not living at home were, like, the same day, so.
Shut up!
Was it her mom or was it having kids? So is it my fault or is it grandma's fault?
It depends what mood I'm in. It's the difference between my kids and your kid. Do you know what your daughter did today as opposed to... When I have something to be proud of, you're my kids. When I have something to be disappointed in, you're his kids.
I can relate to
right?
that one, yeah.
So, yeah, so I didn't. But same, but even that, like, even certain dress choices and things like that, you know, or my mom would be like, you can't wear that. Or, you know, again, if I wore, like, some dress or something, you'd be like, oh, put this nice jacket over it. It's like, really? Like, you know?
I don't know. My mom, she... When it came to, like, face piercings and tattoos, she was not a fan. She's like, no, like, when you are out of my house and living on your own, you can do whatever the hell you want. I do not want to see that every day. No. Mm-hmm. Like, just no. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, whatever. But, like, for the dyed hair, like, after I turned 18, I started, like, really pushing the limits. And she would, like, be very open that she wasn't crazy on it. But when it came to my clothes, she never really stopped me for a lot of things. She would step in and it's like, those shorts are a little too short. I do not think that is appropriate for you to be wearing out of the house. And to a degree, yes, but the same thing, like being kind of a teenager wanting to live my own life. Yes, I would on occasion, like, no, I really want to wear this to school for what?
Like, yeah, same, like I had a couple like crop tops or something like that.
I never really had crop tops. Yeah. I never really liked showing off my stomach, but like shorts or like skirts or stuff.
That was the
like
last
that.
Time I did was when I was like 16.
But my mom never really stepped in terms of what I wore. I tried to call her once and she stepped in. She's like, no, no. She's like, I can deal with the dark makeup. I can deal with all the skulls. I'm drawing the line at dog collars.
Oh yeah, my mom would never have let me do that. No. Even since, like I say, I'm sure if I, even just like a choker or something like that. And she'd be like, why? What?
See, and it wasn't, like, she didn't care for a choker, but if it was, like, you know, the spiked collar, she's like, no, you are not an animal. No. We're drawing the line here.
Yes, yeah.
See, no, and I just remember training mom into it. Me and Kenzie very specifically were like, okay, she's too conservative for this, but if we just slowly start inching over and over and over again, eventually she just gave up on everything, and it was great.
Yeah,
it was the same with
how parenthood works.
Yeah, because I gauged my ears.
Just give up on everything.
I started gauging my ears when I was pretty young, too. And after I had started doing it, I then asked my mom if I could, and she's just like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, okay, I have long enough hair. I can try to hide this. Yeah, that lasted like 3 days. Which is like, I told you not to do that. I'm like, technically, I asked you after.
Yeah, it was kind of already done.
They weren't like massive by any means. Like, I'd only gone up a couple by that point, but.
I'm not on charity's side. I think I'm on your mom's side. Fair. You're just insane.
And you're the pinnacle of sanity. You're the poster child for that.
I really actually am in this room right now.
Okay.
I've made the least questionable decisions of everyone in this room.
Only
as a matter of fact.
Only because you're the youngest. By the time you are the same age, you will have made just as many, if not more, questionable choices. So
all of you at 28? I think I'm still ahead. Right. So Charity enters.
Yes.
She is hard with both Molly and Harry. Like, right off the bat, just like, no.
And Molly, no, you're going to get him killed.
Okay, no.
Is this who you've been spending time with? So what if it is? Molly?
Molly? No.
And then he's trying to defend himself. Michael's like, don't even step in. And Harry's like, no, I really think it's important to step in right now.
I really want to say my bit on this. Yeah.
Michael is every dad ever with a teenage daughter and her mother. Because even my stepdad, like, when I was 17, because I was an asshole as a teenager. I will not deny that. But there were so many times where it's like my stepdad would be like, no, I'm taking the boys, my brothers, and just going outside. We're gonna leave this.
Yeah, there were definitely times where same thing. My dad was just like, you guys figure this out. Like, nope. I'm not getting involved if I don't have to, kind of a thing. And that's totally fair.
There were times, like, he did get involved. Like, okay, no, I'm, like, over this. And he would step in being all like, you need to stop being a dick to your mom. And it's just like, I'm sitting there like, well, fuck you.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that was it. My parents always basically had, like, a united front on that kind of stuff. So it was never, we had... Not like my kids. My kids had it so easy with a broken family. They could, you know, play their parents off each other all the time. No, my parents loved each other, stayed married. It was the worst.
Sorry, you're not as lucky as I am.
They were a goddamn united
front. I got two Christmases. Terrible.
You got like seven. Between like parents and step-parents and grandparents and step-grandparents and friend get-togethers. And I swear you guys had like an inane amount of celebrations for big holidays. But, yeah. But even before that, like, when they first, Harry's been freaking out. He's so worked up over this meeting with Michael. And then it's like, nothing. He's like, I shook his hand, and like, nothing changed.
No,
and he's like, he's just like, holy fuck. Oh, my God. So it's like, so, like, I'm already so ouch for the fact that he's been avoiding Michael. Because, again, we know that Michael is one of his few really good friends and somebody that Harry really relies on having in his
corner. And the fact that he's been reaching out those last 2 years.
And the fact that, yeah, he's been putting on, you know, Michael keeps trying to be like, hey, come on over, let's do this. And Harry's like, no, no, no. And then he's just like, yo, hey, Harry, what's up? And Harry's like, fuck me. And then he doesn't even get time to revel in that or, like, check it out. Because then Charity comes down and just storming and everything. So, yeah. So it's funny, but it's also very realistic where Michael's just like, don't, just yeah.
And Harry does mostly a good job of, like, staying out of it, except for the Savage comment, which is so funny.
Soon, right?
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, and honestly, he's been quiet for a while, and it's surprising he made it this far.
Unfortunately, nor Charity nor Molly have any sense of humor left at that point in time. Can't appreciate
it. Yeah,
they
really did not appreciate that.
Oh, do not take that tone of voice with me, young lady. Young lady. Like, oh my God. And I'm like, obviously never quite this exact, but I was like, he did do a pretty good job of nailing this. I don't know if he just has good insight as an author. I don't know if he had to tap some friends with, like, teenage daughters. I don't know if Butcher... Well, actually, Butcher does have a sister.
He's got a sister. He's got a son.
But. He's got a son, but not... I was going to say, mothers and daughters can be a very different dynamic from...
Oh, yeah.
Sons and daughters and fathers and sons and all that kind of stuff. So, like I say, whether it was pulling from experience there or what, but I mean, like, honestly, this is very typical of a lot of conversations I had with my mom. And same thing, just putting sassy... brazen shit just to, like, I totally would have said that, like, if my mom was giving me heck in front of, like, a friend or a boyfriend or something like that, and I only had, I think, like, one that they ever really knew about before I moved out, but you know what I mean, if she would have been like, oh, is this who you're spending your time with, I would have been like, yeah, like, just to piss her off, like, just to be contrary and ornery and know that that would be, like,
right? So I'm like, I totally feel this. Like, he does a quite a good job of keeping it on a very base level, but also being like, yeah, this is so how just instant animosity, instantly go for the throat, and what's going to piss each other off the most. Yeah.
Well, Molly tries to leave after Charity gives her a, so long as you are in this house, young lady. She's like, well, fuck that. Well,
all right, then.
Fine, I'll leave.
But Michael, like, finally steps in, shuts the door, shocks the hell out of the two of them.
Oh, it's such a powerful, like, he doesn't put any force behind it. He just stops the door from, and everybody's like, oh, shit. Similar. My mom would rant and rave and scream and yell and, like, break wooden spoons over the counter. And we'd be like, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. My mom could be scary and, you know, I did. But, right, you could just be like, that was it. And then all of a sudden, yeah, dad could be much quieter and much more. And he'd just, and you'd be like, oh, fuck, we're all going to die.
There's something that is scary about somebody that is purely calm in a circumstance where everybody's upset. Mm-hmm. And they just do that intense.
And I think
it's just that authority.
Because he's mentioned it with Murphy and stuff like that too, with Kincaid. Just that, again, he's like, I don't have to scream and yell and make a big deal because I know I am this power. And you're like, oh crap, if you have that much confidence that year, right? But I think part of it too is like, I can remember that from like our parents and stuff like that. Like, my dad was a teacher at school and stuff like that, and him and this one other teacher, they had these relatively deep, resonant, you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, again, the women, we tend to be more high-pitched, we tend to have higher, no, and then the guys are like, urgh. You know, I'm like, it does, I'm like, it carries more, it, you know, I think that is a partial advantage that they have to that.
I think a lot can be said too. Like, it's said that women, and it is a fact, were more emotional, especially in the heat of the moment in an argument, like raised voices, like you feel that anger. Where men do tend to, weirdly enough, and I'm still trying to figure this out, stay towards the more logical side of things.
Disagree.
Where they know they don't need to raise their voices. Like, it could just be a primal thing. So, like, even Michael, like, not slamming the door, but Molly goes to open it, and he's all like, no.
Yeah.
But again, it goes to that dynamic and how well Jim Butcher probably put research into this, being all like, yes, for the most part, when it comes to a mother and a teenage daughter, you clear out. You leave it because that is a war zone. But when it gets to a point where dad has to step in, it like just stops. Yeah. It's like, oh, we went too far.
Yeah. And again, much like the kids, right? You let the kids bang it out to a certain degree, but there comes a time where you have to intervene and be like, okay.
Always too soon. You intervene always too soon.
Not on the other party was concerned. But exactly, right? You know, there's a certain amount of learning to fight your own battle, learning to stand up for yourself, sort out your own. And then, yeah, and exactly same kind of thing with this mother-daughter dynamic and stuff like that, too. Like, you guys both need to sort of figure out, but okay, now we're crossing a line. And
the worst thing is that Michael's got, like, the greatest trump card of all time. I might not come home.
Right?
We don't know how much time we have left.
I am going
to really want to waste so much time fighting.
Fight the literal forces of evil. I might die. Is this the battle? Like, is this the hill you guys want to die on kind of thing?
And like, it's just like, geez, damn, dad. Fuck.
God, I know. Sakes. Like,
and Michael's like, been in this since before he fucking met Charity. Like, this has been his whole life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? This is everything that he's done. So for him to, yeah, and I mean, this is, you know, the only version of Michael that Charity, Harry, Molly have ever known.
Yes.
This is the only version.
20, 25 years or something, let's say, of
so, yeah, so I
him
think,
doing this battle.
I think despite knowing how dangerous, and, you know, we see it in Charity the most often, how afraid she is when she goes. And we even had a moment, you know, a couple of paragraphs ago, and Molly noticed and she was like, oh my god, we just caught you, blah. But I do think it's also a little bit taken for granted sometimes, where it's just like, that's just dad's job, his 9 to 5, no problem. So for him to come in and be like, hello,
well, and exactly,
just in case you forgot.
And we all have faith, right? Because you're like, because he's always on the side of good, and he's like Harry's best friend, he's a main character in the books, you're always like, nothing's gonna happen, like, you know, Michael's gonna be okay, right? Like, obviously the same thing as Harry's always gonna be okay, the books are about Harry, he can't die in book one, there's no series, you know, right? But at the same time, you know, it's like, again, if you actually, from there, point of view, and like you say, the kids, as we all do a little bit with our parents, have a little bit of like, oh, exactly, like, oh, daddy's a cop, but daddy will always come home until he doesn't, right? But of course, the adult in the relationship has that.
But you would never kill off a main character.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing about, you know, what makes obviously most writing, what makes most writing good, and as you know, is especially in the Dresden Files, is that the stakes are always so not necessarily height, but that he's built them up to be so realistic too, is that even this fight between, you know, Charity and Molly and Michael are playing their roles so well, because that's the groundwork that Jim Butcher has laid thus far about all of their characters. Mm-hmm. It's why the fight seems so realistic. It's why...
Not the first time we're stumbling along these people, and
exactly.
He's laid bits and pieces all along.
Exactly. Yeah. And then on top of that, and we've been given these sort of hints and glances of sometimes when Michael, you know, is banged up and injured in a fight, and when things are going bad, and when Harry is laying there waiting on a knight to come and save him and be like, oh, fuck, I gotta do it myself, versus the times when the knights have shown up to save him. And it's just all of these things culminating in this, like, yeah, you know what? There could be a time when Michael doesn't make it, and there could be a time when...
Which I just refuse to believe in because,
well,
you
obviously,
know.
Obviously, not.
God
damn. Only, you know, a Knight of the Cross has already died in these series, okay? It's not as far-fetched as...
I was going to say, we have seen some big losses to some semi-major. I mean, yeah, obviously not so much in Harry's circle, but, right, people do get hurt, and those people do get banged up, whether it's,
so
you know, the
that.
Alphas. Yeah, whether it's temporarily or more permanently or whatever, but exactly, right, is he does dangle that in there that... You know, and again,
having... So fair play. Guilt tripping, but fair play, Michael.
And right?
It seems to be relatively effective because, both of them try to complain and end up acquiescing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stops them in their tracks right there.
It is kind of weird, though, that Charity's like, but you're not going to leave now. Not when, you know...
Dresden showed up. Shit's going down.
He's like, over here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird for me because I'm like... I don't know that literally Dresden has ever stopped him from doing anything. Like, Dresden comes and recruits him occasionally, but there's never been a time when there's been, like, the forces that be that Michael's been like, oh, no, my wizard comes first.
Well, and I think that's the thing here is that Michael's like, well, this is obviously where I'm being sent, so obviously this is the, right? But I totally see Charity's point of view because you're right. Like, she makes that point of it in the last couple of books when we see her, and she's like, every time you show up, is when shit goes down, and that's when Michael gets hurt because he's not on the official clock, kind of a thing, right?
So that, in that case, you would want Charity to send him away.
That case,
like,
you
no,
would
no, please go,
like,
you
yeah,
gods
continue
and
your yeah. But at the same time, I was like, I do kind of feel a little bit where she's coming from, where she's like, it is never good if he's showing up. Something is in the way.
And again, with my
with
my runaway daughter.
It
is still questionable for Charity, to be fair.
It is a little bit, but yeah.
But it is funny how, like, nobody asks until Michael and Harry step out to leave Charity and Molly to have the conversation, where Michael's finally like, why are you with my daughter? It's like, yeah, finally somebody actually wants the real facts here.
Well, they didn't really get a whole lot of chance because, honestly, he had mostly just said, what are you wearing? And Harry, like, being like, well, you're old if you think this is, you know. And then is when Charity appeared. So in all fairness, I don't think they had a lot of opportunity because Molly and her started sniping before they really got. The second she's like, why are you with Harry? Molly was like, well, because. And that was just right. I like in Michael's thing how where he's like, okay, I've tried to stay out of this, but he's like, this is now affecting the dynamic of the entire household. You know, it's not just you guys having your thing, where he's like, this is now, and you even see that a bit with her siblings, right? Like with Daniel when he comes down and says, like, you just left, you know how hard things have been? And she's like, well, right? But it just, I find it very, like, again, he doesn't have to say a lot. He doesn't have to say it harshly. He just makes his point really well. And it's just kind of like, oof. And then, yeah, and then they get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Harry, walk me to my car. Yes. Okay, yep, bye.
Yes, it's always when the quiet ones actually speak up. They're like, oh, shit.
Right.
They're actually saying something. It's important.
Like the doctor. Yeah, piss off and make a good man go to war kind of a thing. Yeah.
So while Michael asks Harry to walk him to his truck, and he explains to Harry that Molly was arrested for possession. We get the cute little woman, huh?
Possession? Harry.
I do love that is his first assumption, is the supernatural and not just
right,
like,
that's fair. Especially with Alice going down right now. Yeah,
but
exactly.
Molly was found carrying marijuana and ecstasy at a party that was raided, and the consequences for her was that Molly had to do community service and had a talk from Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm sorry, if Michael sat me down and had a talk with me, I would just be, like, devastated.
Indeed, but at the same time...
How this character is set up, I would just be like, no, okay, I will never do anything wrong in my entire life ever again.
I'm going to go to the church 5 times a week.
Again, as I would say, there are a lot of similarities between Michael and my dad kind of a thing. I would find enough in there that it is, but it's also your dad. Like, yes, there were times I felt awful. And like I say, right, mom would nah, about everything. But, oh, when dad did, like, you did feel more shame. It did gut punch a little more. At the same time, you're a fucking kid and it's your parents. So eventually that wears, you know, and then you're just like, okay, what can I get away with now? You know? So I definitely see some of that. And I think definitely it might have been, like, in the interim. Because like he says, he's like, I felt like that and the shame of the punishment and stuff like that. The community service, he's like, I felt that that was enough.
Well,
you
doesn't
know.
He also even say that she seemed to be repentant?
She did, yeah. She was really right. So I was like, I do get that to a point, but I also can see, like, again, after some of that fades a little bit, also it just being like, I mean, yeah, it's your dad. He's always going to be this, that, or the other thing. So I can see that being a little bit of not having quite the same impact as, like, us and Michael, like, suddenly, you know, like, we hold him in such great esteem, but she's like, it's just my dad.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's a good guy, and I don't want to hurt him, but, you know, apparently that wasn't enough. And Cherry decided she needed more. And I'm surprised. Harry's calling, yeah. She's like, so she decided to start, like trying to control who she could see. I was like, oh, I see where this is going. Yeah.
Well, and again, it kind of goes to what I mentioned earlier, like that emotional thing, because clearly if my child is being arrested for possession, I'm going to be fucking pissed. And that's probably what she was doing. She
you
was
were holding
living.
Out on me? No, just kidding.
She's livid, so she's not going to see it as her sentence and a stern talking to is good enough. She's going to want more. And unfortunately, what she ultimately did was just have her daughter go, well, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah. And again, very relatable and all of that, you know, like exactly be like, because again, as a parent, that's the thing. It's like, well, obviously, I mean, in all fairness, we can actually say that with Charity's family, the Carpenters and stuff like that. We know she's not getting that example at home. So obviously she's getting it from somewhere else, right? Michael and Charity are sitting around going like, oh yeah, I experimented in college. It's fine, you know, like, right? So yeah, and you get that. Like, again, I remember to a certain degree my mom being that way too. Be like, well, who are you hanging on? Were you? I'm not that I was ever into that kind of trouble, thankfully, but you know, exactly. I remember her wanting to monitor and wanting to know and this and that, and always be like, well, where are you going and who are you with? And be like, fuck off. It's my life. I'm 17. I can make my own choices. You know? So yeah, totally understandable that. But again, like with any teenager ever, male, female, whatever, it just somehow didn't go that well. Brought up that, I don't know, rebellious streak that Molly was already showing a mile wide.
So Michael asks Harry to, if he would talk to Molly and try to convince her to have a fair conversation with her mother.
And Harry's like, excuse me, what now?
Literally the most impossible thing I've ever been asked to do. And I've stopped like three wars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know how to talk to kids. I don't know anything about raising kids or daughters or girl. Charity does, and may have you noticed, not looked at me in what any rational person would call like fairness. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to bring these two to?
And Michael drops the faith card again. Just have faith. That's fine.
He's like, fuck you. Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
I love you, Michael, but fuck you. Yeah, this is great. Him just like, excuse what?
Because you really can't argue Michael the faith card. You just can't.
You
like,
can well,
you could try, but it's like, he's got so many examples of how
exactly.
It works for
him. And also just a favor in general from when does Michael ask things of Harry, right? Very rarely, not very often. Harry's always coming to Michael to help him out of some supernatural scrape, you know, exactly. And the one time Michael's like, hey, and Harry's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I love how Harry's just more terrified of Charity than everything. Like, it's true. He's like, I stopped like three words. I'm like, I'm not talking to your wife.
It's just a little bit more of that whole sad Harry orphan Dresden that he's always like, I just have no family and no friends and nobody likes me. And like the whole world around him is like, we love you, bro. We want you a part of our family. Like, please, please insert yourself between my wife and daughter and like make them be friends and protect my family while I'm out of town. And Harry's all like,
yeah, my kids that have known you their whole entire lives like and respect you. And exactly, you're not their mother or father. So they might listen for a second to, you know, before cutting you off. And yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, Michael not only asks him to sort of talk to her, but he also asks him if he would watch over, if something should arise, to watch over his family.
Yeah.
But he says that when he comes back, he has some business to talk to Harry about.
Don't. Never wait. Never wait. Especially you guys know.
Yeah, right?
This is not your first time. This is not book what. You guys go off to supernatural shit all the time. You know, as soon as you say, I've got something to talk to you about later. Oh, fuck me. Yeah. You should deal with that shit
right
now.
I just wrote down anxiety right there. Yeah.
That anxiety, plus it's also tempting fate. you know, wow, we're having a really great day. Nothing else could possibly go wrong. Oh my God, your entire family is going to be dead when you come back. Why? Why? And he does too, because he asks, when he finally asks what Harry is doing there, like he say, figures out how they met up and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, is it anything that Molly's involved in? He's like, not that I know of, but we're going to, right? So already we don't know. You know, he's concerned that there might be something on the horizon already. And like hinky that, you know, Harry's already getting drawn into this situation and stuff like that.
Well, it's a little bit funny because Charity's all like, you're not going now when Harry just showed up and there's going to be bigger problems, blah, blah, blah. And Michael's like, no, I'm still going to go do my stuff. You guys figure it out from here. But Harry can help you with your shit. And I like that Harry's just like, I actually also have 10 things already.
Yeah, mine just aren't out of town right now. Like, really?
But it's just funny because, and then he says a little bit later, and he's like, whatever higher power that be must have a twisted sense of humor considering everything else I already got to fucking do. And it's just like, yeah, no kidding. Like,
right.
He really has a hard time saying no is the also boundaries, Harry. Just a little bit. That's all. Just some.
The first like five things though, people just came and gave them to him, like the gatekeeper and the wardens. They were just like, first of all, this is your fucking business.
Yeah. Gotta kill some kids, look up some black magic.
Then Molly tricked him into convention bullshit.
And the carpenter bullshit, but yes.
Yeah, that too.
I'll just win big ball of wibbly wobbly, tiny whiny stuff.
So shock of the night, Molly doesn't want to stay home. So she asks Harry to take her back to the convention hall and they will live happily ever after. SplatterCon.
And that's the end of book 8.
This concludes our episode 17.8, Frankenhooker. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanallies.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by editor on the risk.